Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Oh, hi, everybody. It's Is It Just Me? And this, you are absolutely coming to us on a very special day. This is the bumper birthday, first birthday anniversary, something or other, of Is It Just Me?
Woohoo, can you believe
it? Yeah. Hi, James Williams.
Hi, Joe Elvin.
That's James. He's one of the hosts.
Hello, and she's the other one.
I'm the other one. Do you know what? That's how I'm known at home.
The other one.
With the dog. Like, my husband is the best one, and I'm the other one. If the best one's out, I get some love as the other one. Yeah.
Well, you're very important today. You're a guest of honour, as am I, because it's our first birthday. We are one.
Can you believe it?
Can you believe we're still on the air?
No, not really.
Not really. No,
thank you to all the listeners.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Without getting very Gwyneth at the Oscars about it, can we just quickly say thank you so much to all you lovely people who do religiously tune in and listen and download every week. I think there's like 20,000 of you a week now, which is amazing. And we do love each and every one of you for doing that.
Did you get me a present?
I didn't.
Oh, that's a bit rude, because I got you one.
My podcast presence is your present.
Well, I got you a present.
Oh, you did.
I got you the best ever podcast guest.
Oh my God, you really have. I see what you did there. God, we're getting quite good at this, aren't we?
Is It Just Me? And we are going to be talking about all sorts of important trivialities.
Naturally.
With an absolute guru, national treasure of skincare. She's a skincare
wellness.
Expert. She's a wellness expert. She's an entrepreneur. She's a
We are getting on a bit. It's our birthday.
Woman.
We needed the experts to bring us in to make us feel good and look amazing.
She's going
to
dim the lights so that she can look at us. It's the amazing Liz Earle, everybody.
Whoa.
Hello. Thank you for having me. If I'd known it was your birthday, I would have baked you a cake.
Oh, I know.
No GI, obviously.
Oh, obviously.
You would not have baked us a cake.
I so would. I spend my days baking cakes.
You don't eat sugar.
Not sugar. Sugar-free cakes.
Oh, yeah. No, I wouldn't have wanted that.
Oh, I would have.
I would have smiled politely.
Liz, I would have.
Yeah. Would you?
She's a non-believer in this stuff. I'm with you. I believe in
you
it.
You need to wean yourself off that stuff, you know, Joe.
But welcome. Yeah. Welcome, Liz.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And we're going to have a fight already.
I know.
Sugar.
Are you feeling festive, Liz? It's officially December.
I am. Well, because working in magazines, as you know, Joe, Christmas for us starts in July.
Yeah.
So we've been festive for quite a while. The tree went up in July and basically never came down again. So I'm really well happy.
It's my first You magazine Christmas.
Oh, so you're weekly now.
Yeah.
So many firsts, Joe,
at the
moment.
But that's the thing is, but at Glamour, we never, you know, had to proofread things about roast turkeys, and there I am looking at Jamie Oliver's roast potatoes and stuffed turkey Wellington.
You've been craving it since about October.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. I've already run through Jamie's Christmas menu just to test that it all works. Sorry, Jamie, of course I know it all works.
Yes, of course.
Yes. But how are you?
I'm really well, thank you.
You look
busy.
It. You always
do
look,
I?
Yeah, you
oh,
always
thank you. I'm quite
absolutely
tired.
Glisten with radiance. Yeah.
I have to tell you something, Liz.
Go
My
on.
Friends regularly take the piss out of me because they always say to me, you know, you look all right for your age, but what's your trick? And I don't know if you remember this, but I once was home from school sick. and caught you on this morning.
She now, doesn't remember that. Am I supposed to be flattered?
You will be.
I am so old. I'm old enough to be your mother.
No. I think I was very close to A-levels and leaving. Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you recovered that well.
And I remember watching you, and you did a thing on facial exercises where you said, ooh, ah, eeks. Ooh, ah, eeks. Where you strain your face into you really exaggerate the
letters. Eeks and Q.
Yes. And I've been doing that.
Why haven't you told me about this?
I've been doing this in the shower religiously.
This is why you look so amazing.
Ever since. And all my friends take the piss out of me because I do it every day. And
well,
I think
it works. So, you know,
that's something weird, Liz. I think of you every day in the shower.
is it too late for me to start ooh, ah, eeks?
No. If you do like that, really, it just pulls your facial muscles and just gives them a bit of a workout. Like, I mean, you work out your body, you work out your face.
And look, Face gym is now, I think you were a trailblazer then.
Well, clearly.
What I do is I do massive. Massage my cleanser every night.
That's good. Ooh.
I do that.
I was wondering where you were going then for a second.
Well, what are you
massaging?
It's a family podcast. I'll tell you about the other stuff later. But and I don't know. And I'm a big believer in double cleansing as well.
Oh. Yeah, I think it's the right thing. As long as you're gentle, I think keep it gentle. Don't use anything that foams on your face because it can strip the skin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you get stopped all the time in the street by people?
A lot. I mean, it's funny because I'm no longer connected to the beauty brand. So it was sold back in 2010 and I exited absolutely completely nearly 2 years ago now.
But you're still known as.
It's my name. Yeah, for sure. And it's my baby. So it's a bit like having I have five children. So it's a bit like having a sixth child that kind of grows up and leaves home. You're still hugely proud and want it to do well, but you don't have to kind of helicopter parent it all the time.
Yeah.
So it's great. I mean, I love the fact that it's, I mean, you're talking about, you know, you taking me into the shower, as it were, with the facial exercises. And, you know, I get that from people. They'll say, my boyfriend had you in the shower this morning because, you know, he uses the body wash or whatever. And you're saying that's probably too much information, but it's always said in the nicest way. So it's nice to spread the love, isn't it?
But that is, I mean, that's such an achievement though, Liz, that you are... You know, you have sort of grown this quintessentially British brand and an empire. You're like the British Oprah with your magazine.
Got
a podcast.
Well, and it's iconic. You've actually been the woman behind iconic products, I would argue. You know, everyone does know your cleanser. Everyone talks about your cleanser. It's one of those things that always tops the list, doesn't it?
I mean, it is. It was an amazing thing. And I am very proud of it. I should probably have a gravestone in the shape of a cleansing pot, I should think.
You know, a few blue plaques around the
or maybe in the shape of that. But, you know, winding the clock back, you know, you were saying you used to watch me as a small child on TV. 30 years ago, I started on This Morning. And even then I was considered an expert. I mean, an expert in what? I'm not quite sure. I could have been 30 years ago. But I love communicating and I love going back into the world of magazines. Having written for magazines, you know, to now have my own is like a real pinch me moment. I love doing radio. So like this, you know, like you guys, I have a podcast. I love that whole connection of podcasting. And I do TV and I do, you know, YouTube. So now we can be our own creators, can't we? And there is such an extraordinary thing when you've grown up as a different generation at the behest of the commissioning editors and the schedulers to actually being able to do that for ourselves and create our own channels. It's just such a joy. Oh my goodness. I want to do it forever.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. And in a way, it's frightening, but it's also as exciting as it is daunting, isn't it? I think, you know, for us people who've traditionally been brought up with, you know, very rigid media.
Yes.
In that respect, you know, social media, YouTube, these things.
Talk about disruptive technology. Yeah.
But I think that, not so much you, James, you're slightly younger, but I think our generation, Liz, it's like there's been this assumption that we can't adapt to that kind of new world and that media. And so you're an absolute shining example of that being complete rubbish.
Well, I think with my podcast, I certainly had to be persuaded, my young millennial team, because I was saying, you know, what's a podcast? And I mean, this was a couple of years ago. And I said, who's going to listen? You know, and of course, there is a massive audience out there. Yep. And it is like
they're listening right now, Liz.
Well, I'm thrilled. Thank you for listening. It's like having, you know, Netflix or any of these things in your pocket. It's on demand. And I think that's the thing that we're adapting to, aren't we, as a society, that we can have what we want when we want it. And that was never the case years ago growing up. We had to have it when somebody else told us we could have it.
Oh my gosh. Do you remember the fights with your siblings over, you know, what side the TV was going to be on?
And there was no option. you know, maybe the VCR would break. You guys listening probably don't know what a VCR is.
My daughter thinks I'm making that up, that you had to watch something on television when it was on, and that was it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was talking to my kids about the books that I've written, and they were looking back through some of the archive, and I said, oh yeah, this was interesting because I had to go to the library and research this. And they said, well, couldn't you find it on Google? And I said, sweetheart, there was no Google. And there was this absolute stunned silence. You know, there was life before the internet. How did you survive?
You had to go to the library.
What did you do? How did you get your info? They said to me genuinely, how did you learn anything? How did you know anything? I said, well, we used to go and talk to people.
I mean, in fairness, I can barely remember what I did before Google, I have to say.
But I
spent a lot of time in magazine company libraries, going through old newspaper cuttings, like physically just going through barely well-kept files, hoping to find the needle in the haystack of info I needed.
I have a theory that libraries are the new vinyl. You know, like vinyl's made a comeback and Polaroid cameras made a comeback. I think libraries are going to...
resurging, isn't it? Yeah. They know that. I think that the rate of electronic downloads in as reading material, I think, is slowing and people are going back to print. Because you can't really curl up on the sofa and enjoy a good tablet, can you? You need that screen thing, you know, the tactile tangibility of paper and good quality printing, and you can, you know, fold down the pages. I mean, actually, when I look at the magazine, we started it online as a digital, thinking that was the way ahead. That was going to be what everybody wanted. But I think because my audience is mostly kind of midlife women, they don't want to just sit and watch it on a screen. You want something you can trust. Do you want to have it in paper? You know that, Jo, from working in magazines too. I don't think print is dead at all. I think it's got a really blossoming future ahead.
And I think as well, with things like magazine covers, people are still interested in that. I definitely find that. Nobody cares. Nobody gets excited about being on a homepage. People are excited about
if they're on the cover.
Who's on the cover? Who's on the September issue of this or that? You know, which, and it's celebrities still, are like, oh, it's great, you can get me online, but can I have the cover?
It's a huge currency. It really is. I do a lot of work for lots of different titles, and wherever you go, universally, it's the cover. The cover is still that thing that everybody wants to be in or be on or be a part of.
And my daughter's dog made it onto the cover of Lizelle Wellbeing this month, so she's well pleased. It was with me, obviously, but she is still on there, sharing the cover.
That's my next goal for you, magazine. If you get a few dogs on.
Yeah. Get Bella on there.
Bella.
And my dog. My dog Bingley officially arrives tomorrow.
From where?
I'm collecting him from the breeder tomorrow.
Oh, how fabulous. It's for life, not just for Christmas.
I know.
He can be the pod mascot.
I have thought about it for a year. And I'm making the leap. Don't worry, Liz. It's not gone, you know. Unthought of. I've given it a lot of thought, and although the responsibility is pressing down on me, but I feel like I'm ready. It's time.
I'm excited for you.
Oh my word.
So if you haven't checked out Liz's product, it's called Wellness with Lizzo.
And who've been your favourite guests?
Different. I mean, we've had, you know, we've done a lot about the menopause and hormones, and that's been fascinating. I mean, I had like Meg Matthews, Brit rock chick, really open and frank, funny conversation about libido in later life.
Yeah, she was very frank about that on live television on Loose Women. It's difficult to shock old Elvin, but I was shocked that day.
She kind of takes the barriers down. But, you know, we have very gentle things. It's a kind of a lucky dip. You never quite know who you're going to get, all the subjects. So it's all about well-being, but that's very broad, isn't it? It could be about looking good or feeling good or doing good. And one of my gentle giants really was about the life of the bumblebee. And I went into that thinking, this is, you know, okay, meh, might be a bit dull, but let's go with it. And it is the most fascinating podcast. I didn't know, actually, and I'm a farmer, so I should know this, but I didn't know the difference between a honeybee and a bumblebee.
Right.
And we would not exist without the bumblebee. I mean, they are extraordinary powerhouses, and they are so maligned. If you see one of these little furry champions, you just need to feed it a little bit of sugar syrup and help it on its way, because they are extraordinary workers. So, yeah, if you want to check out the life of the humble bumblebee. It's
the humble bumblebee.
That's a good one to start with.
That sounds like a good pub.
And it's available.
It could be, couldn't it?
It's a great name. And I'm assuming the podcast is available everywhere on all the usual
iTunes
places where you'd find
Stitcher
us.
Yeah, iTunes and all of that. Yeah.
Well, check it out.
Thank you. Amazing.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Lisa. I hope you've come ready to debate some very, very serious topics.
I did a lot of in-depth research.
She was born ready.
Let's do this. So first up this week, ladies, is it just me who would happily retire tomorrow? Now,
Surprisingly, no.
Next topic.
Hear me out on this one.
I think it is just you.
Hear me out on this one. Well, no.
Go for it then.
Because I just think, you know, most people do dream, don't they, of a life of basically being able to do what they want. And I guess your idyllic idea of retirement is where you've sort of basically take up all those hobbies you've always wanted
golf.
To. And you get around to all those odd jobs you've never get around to doing. And, you know, because life gets in the way. So I always had this thing that, yeah, if money was no object, I would happily retire tomorrow. Anyway, I this morning caught Lorraine Kelly actually interviewing the author Barbara Taylor Bradford, and she was on there, and you know, she still writes a book a year, she's in her 80s, she looks amazing, and she actually said something and it really resonated with me. She's basically said, you know, I don't plan to retire because you retire, you die. And wow. I was like, wow, actually, I can kind of see that.
Or if you're my father, my mother will kill you.
There is that risk.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think now, having had this idea for quite some time that I would happily retire, that's almost made me sort of do a 180 on the whole thing. And I do think she's onto something.
I don't think you need to work. I think you've got to have a purpose, though.
Yeah.
I think that I worry about not having a reason to get out every day.
Yeah.
But I think that we can cultivate those pursuits without having to work for a living.
But isn't it funny though that, you know, we are part of a generation, maybe we are the last generation that, you know, there was an age at which you were put out to pasture. Mm-hmm. And do you think that's literally a thing of the past?
I personally do. You know, I'm in my 50s, and I look at my maternal grandmother and great grandmother. They both died when they were, I think, 102 and 104.
Wow.
So there's a history of long lived females in my family. So genetically,
you're barely getting started, Liz.
You know, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. So
I mean, I was thinking the other day, I'm older than middle age, but
no, but I feel I'm halfway.
Yeah,
I'm halfway through. So it's like, what does the second half look like? And, you know, how do we live that well? And I think the key thing is you've got to have your marbles, haven't you? I mean, you've got to have your mental faculties. And that is the key thing. And you do that by staying active. You don't want your brain to atrophy. You've got to keep it stimulated. And how do you do that? You do that by being inquiring and learning things. And a lot of that comes from working. So I think to your point, James, it might not be paid employment. It might not be traditional work. But I can never see myself retiring, ever.
But I do worry. I mean, I think there's a disconnect at the moment, which everyone's kind of sweeping under the carpet and just ignoring. It's like, yes, the retirement age for men and women now has been raised by the government, if you're talking about your state pension. But what are we going to be hireable for? You know, who's going to... I can't continue to be a trendy magazine editor.
No, but there's wisdom, like, though, Jo. I mean, that's the key thing.
Yeah, I hope people respect that, though. You know, we don't know.
I think so. I mean, from my own experience, you know, when I went back kind of almost into a business startup mode with the magazine, that we fell into two camps of people. There were the older, wiser women, if you like, people like me in their 50s. And then there were the bright young things, the young millennials in the 20s and just graduated, who were just full of ideas and enthusiasm and saying, let's do podcasts and, you know, all this sort of strange stuff that we'd never heard about. And it was the bringing together of those two things that I think makes a business these days so powerful.
Yeah.
You need the wisdom balanced by the youth and the enthusiasm. And I don't think either works without the other.
But it is, I guess, I mean, playing devil's advocate, it's very much, you know, sort of skewed towards the creative, isn't it? You can still be creative at any age. I guess if you're looking more at the physical, you know, side of work, you know, ultimately, you know, your body does start to slow down. You can't keep doing
things. Yeah, but there is opportunity. I did some work actually with a bank last year, and they were saying that they did some research on their business loans. And they found that the vast majority of people opening business accounts, something like 80%, were aged over 65.
Wow.
Which I thought was amazing, because I thought it would be all young, you know, young kids doing techie startups. But no, they were all probably actually retired or semi-retired and thinking, right, you know, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? Let's start a business. I've always wanted to do X. Let's go do it.
Maybe I could have a business on Depop, like making Basie D'Rollers paraphernalia or something.
Is that what you've always wanted to do?
Yeah, that's my dream. Actually, my
Which
dream
one did you
career?
Fancy?
Oh no, actually they're a little bit before my time, but I'm thinking of, you know, all the people who are going to live to 100 who I can service.
Good thinking.
So I'm so entrepreneurial.
You really but are.
My dream career is gift wrap design.
Oh yeah, you've said that before. That would be a nice
And
it's so expensive.
Yeah.
Hello, a sheet of paper that you throw away is like $4.99.
Very ecologically unsound. But what's your dream? If you won the lottery tomorrow, What would you do with your days besides you are eats?
Well, I do a lot of that, Liz. Thanks to you.
There'd be more time for that.
But I guess it sounds like such a dreadful cliche, doesn't it? But you know, you would do what excites you. You would do your passion as your job. And I'm very lucky, I guess, in many respects, that I do get to do things that interests me as a job. But you know,
I think I'd spend all my time at Battersea Dogs Home. I think I would.
Or the cat cafe. Yes.
Not the cat cafe. I hate those bastards. I want just the dogs. Battersea Dogs. Feeding, exercising, you know, and looking after the dogs as well.
I think something, anything in sort of life, I hate it, but life, like food or health or basically I wouldn't work for Liz.
Yeah, you could.
I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah. What about you, Liz? I mean, you've
done it all.
Got yourself to a lifestyle where you're your own boss and you can do what you want. And
yeah, I mean, you know, there are challenges. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy. You know, the artist to make it look easy. And, you know, it would be nice to get to a stage where there were no more problems and, you know, logistical things that you haven't counted for. And that is quite draining and quite time consuming. So I think as an entrepreneur or a brand founder, you've always got to be quite resilient. And I think I hope that I keep that resilience going, because that is what keeps brands on and keeps us going. But we've just launched in the States, so that's really exciting, just to, you know, to go across the pond. And
so what's your one tip for... I mean, you've obviously got a lot on your plate. What's your tip for handling day-to-day stresses?
I think the fundamental thing that I've learned above all else is you have to protect your sleep.
Yeah.
You know, I can do a lot of things, but if I haven't slept, then the wheels are really going to fall off the wagon.
Right.
So I literally block sleep into my diary like an appointment, like a schedule. And,
really?
You know, I know that if I have a late night, I balance it with a later start with a meeting the next day, or vice versa. Or I try and, you know, clock up my Zeds at certain times. I mean, coming now into the festive season with parties, I'm already saying, actually, do you know, I can't go out every night. I need to have one night when, you know, I'm having a nice bath at 8:30 and then going to bed, because you've got to have a bit of balance. And maybe that's a growing older thing. But I think also looking at your mental health and making wise decisions, we can only do that if we've, you know, got our sleep quota fulfilled.
And are you a big advocate for the 8 hours thing? Because I have
seven
to say,
and a half.
Seven and a half. See, yeah, I think that's interesting. And, I do feel there's a little bit of a con about everyone needs to get their 8 hours. And I don't think I do.
It's kind of based on circadian rhythms. And you need to ideally go through 5 sleep cycles every night.
Right.
So you go right down into your deep REM sleep, which is when your brain is really, you know, just being very creative. Your body is repairing. Because when we sleep, that's when our cells regenerate.
Yeah.
So that's when we get our chance to do our repair work. So it's very good for our immune system at this time of year, with all the coughs and colds and things around. Really important that we keep our immune system strong. So if you work out 5 sleep cycles, it's about 30 minutes, 40 minutes per sleep cycle, maybe a little bit more depending on you, but you know, really 7.5 hours. And they say that actually too much sleep is as bad as too little.
Yes, I agree.
Because you disrupt your body clock. So even at the weekend, you should actually still be getting up at, you know, your normal work time, which is a tough one because it's so tempting, isn't it, to lie in.
I hate to say it, but it's a sign of age, but I've turned into that person now that pretty much gets up the same time on the weekend as I do.
Yeah, that's the best way.
I like a big ass lion.
Yeah.
I'm not giving that up.
And sugar.
Yeah.
You're a terrible student, Jo.
I am. And I probably look the oldest out of us three.
Well, if you are sat there listening to us going, oh, what on earth are they talking about? You've got a very strong opinion. We do love hearing from you guys. So please do drop us an
email.
Even
when you're being rude.
Yeah, even when you're being
rude. No, actually, no, nobody
You're
is.
Never rude to us. You're always very, very lovely. Do drop us emails. Drop us an email, I should say. Or multiple emails. We got a lovely one this week, Jo, from... we got a nice email from Lisa saying that... thanks for your... basically, she says, I'm off... work this week and I've had to do some serious catch-ups on Is It Just Me. I'm amazed at how relevant the chats are. Not nice to hear, Jo. We actually are relevant.
Well, we do try, don't we?
Anyway,
so modern and relevant.
You were saying you've been offered your dream job in terms of lifestyle and you're having crippling self-doubt about it. It's being too good to be true. I think a lot of it is the change from a structured work environment. It got me thinking about you two, you and me, Jo, and how you must have had to go through a similar process with a move from glamour to a different work lifestyle. So in short, I'd be interested to hear what our thoughts are on this topic.
Gosh.
Well, I know.
It's a big old one.
It is. I mean, to be honest, I was at glamour for a long, long time, 15 years, and I've said this to lots of people. You know, I was institutionalised. I didn't know any different. I was terrified of leaving, but I can now say a year later, even though it was scary and terrifying, it's the best thing that ever happened.
It's definitely,
change is good.
But I don't think there's any shame in there being a grieving process.
No, absolutely.
And I
not.
Saw that, I had that, and I saw it in a lot of our glamour colleagues. It was like, I mean, I'd been through something similar before when a business changes. So it was, you know, I'd kind of had that buffer of experience. It was, I think it was difficult to watch people who hadn't been through that. I found that more upsetting in a lot of ways than going through it myself.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, it is hard when you've, and I always try to not let my identity be 100% invested in something that I don't ultimately have control over.
Mm.
So I think, I don't know where I'm going with this.
But I think, I think you're right. Yeah. I think, you know, your job is a big part of your lifestyle and your identity. But, you know, it's perfectly natural to feel somewhat daunted. But at the same time, don't let this, you know, think you're making the wrong decision. Because I think a leap of faith and a change in direction is a good thing. Liz, you know you've done plenty of those, I would imagine, in your time.
Most things work out in the end,
don't they?
Yeah, they
do. And I think you have to remember that you can shake it up. You know, it's not forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, hopefully it will work and it will be amazing. And if it doesn't, I mean, what an incredible experience. And then you can just get up and go off and do something else. It's not as if you're getting a tattoo across your forehead that you can't erase.
Exactly.
And I think the one thing I've really, as I get older, I've tried to live by is what can you do today? And then I think you could be in the worst job, you could be in the most boring job and you hate it. But if you do what you can today to the best of your ability, you will be amazed at how that leads to something else.
Exactly.
And I tell students that all the time because I really believe it.
Mm. Absolutely.
I think when doors open, you should walk through them.
There you go. Yeah. Lisa, thank you for your email. We have no doubt you're going to go and smash your new dream job.
We're going to explore that a lot more at a later date, I think. I think it's really interesting.
Absolutely. Thanks for your email, Lisa. And if you are listening and want to get in touch, please do drop us a line at the usual address. It's isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com.
So next up, is it just me who sees red, scarlet red, when we see somebody litter?
I think you've put that really beautifully and politely. I would happily introduce at least life imprisonment, possibly
really?
The reintroduction of capital punishment. If you're a litterer, I'm pretty sure I hate you. I find it one of the most disgusting, disrespectful things that you can do to your fellow citizens.
It's the ultimate outpouring of selfishness, isn't it? It's the literal embodiment of everything, whether it's spitting out a piece of gum, you know, dropping a sweet wrapper. I mean, I even have an issue with cigarette stubs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just everything. It's the big, it's the small. It's the mindset that thinks it's okay to just chuck it away.
And you will find this with Mr. Bingley. Do you have dogs, Liz?
I do, yeah.
And I it's fair enough. I think it's disgusting when people don't pick up their dog mess.
Oh, yeah.
But my park is... I mean, every three steps, there's a sign saying £1,000 fine if you don't pick up your dog litter. Meanwhile, I'm walking around picking up my dog's litter and sweet wrappers and drink cans and Coke cans. It's like, at least the dog poo is organic. You know, it's like, but obviously I would never leave that. But it's like, why is there no, there seems to be no kind of... sort of like decorum or enforced about, and why does it need to be enforced? It's disgusting to litter.
It is weird. There are all these signs that says, you know, these fines, but you never see anyone hanging around.
I think one of the problems is certainly in London. I remember in the old days when, you know, we used to get bomb scares all the time, and often, you know, terrorists would use litter bins and blow them up, and then they disappeared from the streets.
Yeah.
So it's actually quite hard these days to find litter bins where you can put that. Well, it's not an excuse. I'm not saying it's an excuse.
Carry it until you find one.
So it's a changing the mindset, isn't it? We have to say to our kids, just take a bag with you. And you know, my husband's a demon for this. When we go on holiday on the beach, he'll take a bag and we'll spend, you know, not love a lovely romantic afternoon walking, strolling along the beach. He will be doing a litter pick and getting the kids to do it.
Good
and to shove it all in the bag, which, you know, it is quite satisfying but also infuriating that it should even be there in the first place.
My mum and dad, in their retirement, back to retirement, that's what they do now. They do beach littering. They go and you know,
it's staggering what you pick up, the thoughtlessness of it.
I know, but it's lovely that they're doing that, but it's also sad that they have to do that.
That they have to,
you know?
You know, I would advocate, when I was a kid, and this is the power of advertising, that Australia had some sort of like, it was deemed a huge social problem with littering. And I remember being 9-10 years old, and they started a jingle campaign, a television ad called Do the Right Thing. And I still know the song, not going to sing it. You can YouTube it. And that was... indoctrinated into me from a young age that you are really a disgusting person if you litter. And I just...
Well, we need to bring that back over this country.
It really did do a number on the nation. It really did.
Do you think we're worse than other countries? That's my question.
I spend a bit of time in Italy, and I have to say, apologies to Italians who are listening, but in my experience, they drop everything, literally. And without even a thought. And there's so much plastic waste. I mean, I think at least in this country, we're beginning to understand that we need to reject stuff that's in plastic, and they're supermarkets with plastic-free aisles, and we're actually working on a campaign for a plastic-less Lent, because people always think about, you know, what can I give up? And actually, you know, giving up plastic and disposable packaging is hard, but let's make it plastic-less. And just have a think about, you know, if you're going to buy that avocado and it's wrapped in a plastic, you're going to eat it in 30 seconds, and that plastic wrapper is going to take you 950 years to decompose. And even then, it isn't going to. It's going to turn into plastic dust, which will go into the ocean. So I think the supermarkets need to be more responsible in terms of banning, because they're so powerful. You know, you think of, you know, if they can reject wonky carrots, they can certainly reject
plastic packaging. It's also mad, isn't it, to think that must be such a huge cost for them. All that plastic packaging.
Yeah, it's weird. Well,
so,
I mean, well, they probably insisted on it in the first place. And then you get plastic packaging wrapped in plastic packaging.
I mean, my take on this, though, as well, is what I don't understand is, I can understand, people that you don't see doing it, you know, but sometimes people are a bit, it's a bit like people that pee in public, you know, they literally will just be a bit, you know, you don't, you know, it's, I'm always taken aback when I see somebody openly urinating in public, unashamedly. And then you see people doing the same thing.
With openly I can't litter.
Help people it. Openly litter. I'm there, mouth open, going, I just saw you throw that, and you have not got a care in the world. You don't care. And I just don't understand.
Well, how can you be human? I was in the car with her, and this is a true story. We're going down the King's Road, and we stopped at traffic lights, and the guy in the car in front wound down his window, chucked out a cigarette packet, and, you know, was making to move off. My mother hopped out of the car, and I said, you know, be careful, because you never know who these people are. She picked up the cigarette packet, she knocked on his window, he wound it back down again, and, you know, seeing this old lady going, yes, can I help you? And she said, oh, I think you've dropped something, and just posted it back through the window.
My dad did the exact same thing.
I've considered that, but I know a story like that from around my area that ended extremely badly.
Well, I could say, I wouldn't advocate it. You don't know. I mean, one of these guys, you know, they've got, you know, knives and guns. But it is that mentality that you just think you can, in broad daylight, it's acceptable to chuck something out of a car window.
Who are these people?
Who are they? Name and shame.
I hope you're not listening, because we don't want litterers listening to this podcast.
No, but also I would, you know, I mean, it's not fair to pick up other people's mess, but it does give me a good feeling to, because I love my park.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I've started doing it on my street. Rather than getting annoyed by
I've started picking it up.
And I do go, I have a moment going, why am I doing this?
But then I wonder if maybe people see people do it, maybe other people will.
Yeah.
Think pay twice. I don't know.
Yes.
Let's turn into a positive, everyone.
It's my tiny toe into activism.
Yes. So if you are a litterer, don't talk to us. But
you can't sit with us.
And if you do get as annoyed as we do, then just pick it up and suck it up. Don't physically suck it up, but you know what I mean. Metaphorically suck it up. And let's make the place
slightly
cleaner.
Put it in your handbag until you get home.
Exactly.
Please. Yeah.
Especially if it's fruit, because you know how Joe feels about half-eaten fruit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not go there.
Don't be littering that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is something that we have talked about before. Is it just me who hates paying for roast dinners? Is it just, you know what I mean? Is it like, it just feels like they're never that great, are they? What is it about? Am I wrong? Have you come across roast dinner nirvana out there?
Well, I made a pact a long time ago to stop ordering roast dinners for this very reason. Because when you can,
I told you we tackled the real subjects, yeah. Liz.
When you
I told
can,
you.
When you can very make insightful. Something yeah. better. You, the whole point of going out and eating out is it's
That's
a treat.
That's a good point.
Mm. And if you go somewhere and you end up ordering something, then you
With
go, I could
chicken.
Make this better at home.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Or these Yorkshire puddings are rubbish, you know. So you just go, so I just stopped doing it. But then, having said that, I've recently discovered a pub near me that now does a very good roast, and it's I've given it now the very grandiose title of the only roast in London I'll pay for. But they should probably,
is that right near you?
They should put it on their marketing material, don't you think? But yes, it is quite close to me.
But that's good, because a roast dinner I mean I live on a farm, so I have a farm kitchen, and you know, and a roast dinner is like the heart,
so
the heart
like
of the weekend.
McDonald's drive through sort of like, yeah,
that's just what's on offer, yeah, the whole time. But it is a bit of a faff, you know, if you're going to do the whole thing, amazing gravy, you've got your Yorkshire puddings, your roast potatoes, all your different veg, and then whatever it is that you're roasting. So if you can go and get a great one locally, then that's amazing. But I agree, so often it's a bit limp and disappointing.
There's no disappointment like the disappointment of a disappointing roast.
No.
There really isn't. It's because often you're a little bit weary / hungover from the night before.
Yes.
You go there,
really
you think
yeah.
you're going to drown yourself in gravy and carbs, and then you just get this hideous reheated.
Yeah, it's the reheating,
dry,
isn't it? That's dryness and reheating.
And also, you know it's never a good sign when it comes too quickly.
And
you order it,
just,
and within
just,
2 minutes, it's on your plate. You're going, how did that get here
you
so fast?
You just can't mass cater a roast.
No.
You just can't do it.
I get very, see, I think you shouldn't have too many things on a roast dinner. Like,
that's the other thing, when you can't actually move the knife and fork on the plate. I mean, that's just
a
living
nightmare.
Like
it. Well, no, it's not. It's very good for your microbiome.
What the hell is that?
Okay, so our microbes, we are fueled and live on our gut microbes, and there are trillions of them. We have more gut microbes than we have cells in the body. So it's really important.
Thanks for that.
I mean, we are mostly microbes, okay? Yeah. So we've got to look after our beneficial microbes, because they control our mental health, our immune system, our energy, everything. And microbes love diversity of food. So they don't like it when we have that, you know, tuna mayo sandwich day for lunch.
I'm talking about when they put the plate down and it's so full,
so full of things.
Too
but as long
things.
As it's lots of different things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what we need, is diversity on a plate.
Well, you see, where I get weird is I find it a bit weird when people have mashed potato, roast potato.
Oh, no, that's a bit odd.
You know, different types, and they have like multiple types of the same thing.
You have just really pissed off my mother-in-law, who is an avid listener of the podcast. I love my Christmas Day dinner at Christine Jones.
Does she do
where
mash
we have
and roast?
And roast potatoes.
And boiled.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, my
sometimes.
God. Sometimes.
Yeah.
There's a whole like cavalcade of
the only exception, I would have like mashed carrots and chopped carrots.
Oh.
Because I think there's nothing like a bit of mashed veg, really.
Yeah.
Not sure about potatoes.
See, I'm more like, I think a good green. One good
You've
green
gotta have
vegetable.
A good green.
And then.
And well, and a nicely done green, not an overcooked.
Yes.
Not overcooked.
Sweaty, wet kind of, yeah.
But where do you stand, Joe, as an Aussie? I mean, I know honorary Brit, but Aussie, you know, because I think Aussies love their roast meats.
They
don't
do.
They?
I don't feel like it's as
gravy obsessed.
There's, you know, there's not as much call in Australia for comfort eating. That sort of like really sort of like wintry. We do like it, and you know, my mother used to roast a damn turkey in a 40-degree Christmas day.
Really,
She probably will again this
Bless
year.
Her.
But
what about lamb? Because I mean, we know about
I love lamb
in Australia.
Yeah,
lamb.
And
that,
I think
that
that's
thing?
Possibly why that's my favourite. My grandmother used to do a roast lamb.
I mean, it's one of the few actual, especially in this era of, you know, where we're all doing things, we're all on our phones, you know, we're all on our tablets, you know.
Mm.
It is quite nice, the tradition of the roast dinner.
And you
isn't
gather,
the
you gather
roast.
Friends and
but
family.
But it doesn't
it's
have
like
to be a roast
occasion.
Though, does it?
No, I think it could be a nut roast.
I think Sunday lunch is a really nice idea. The Sunday dinner is a nice idea. It doesn't have to be a roast.
True, but I can't help but feel if I was going to your house for Sunday dinner and you did not present me with a roast, I might be slightly disappointed. noted. Initially.
I mean, I live with a practically a vegan, so noted. Yeah,
but I'm sure you would present me with something that would get me over it. But it's funny, so we are just ingrained to think gravy on a Sunday.
I get excited when people come around on a Sunday because then that's my excuse to cook a big leg of lamb or something because otherwise it's just me eating it. It's because my daughter's so fussy, she won't eat roast meat.
I mean, we have, it's almost Christmas. What is the Christmas roast at your table then, Liz? What's it going to be this year?
Well, I'm an organic farmer, so we're a grass-fed, pasture-fed farm. So we have beef, lamb, we have turkeys, and our turkeys have been merrily munching their way through a whole lot of windfall apples over these last few months.
Wow.
So, yeah, so that they'll be making their way.
What time do you want us around?
Various turkeys. Yeah. I'm worried about the gravy now. I'm not sure it's going to be good enough.
Yeah. It's all about the giblets.
Yeah, yeah, you got to boil your giblets.
It's the only time I ever give giblets any time of day. Like, normally from
a
butcher's.
Even think about
if they give you giblets, you're like, they go straight in the bin, don't they? They're terrifying.
Do you remember the one time I was really good and bought a really sort of like socially conscious, well-fed, higher welfare roast chicken.
Which is the only kind.
But it still
buy.
It still had like tons of feathers.
You tell her, Liz.
And hair in it.
But you're so squeamish.
World,
you
know? I'm sorry, you've got to come to terms with the reality of what's being produced.
I actually phoned James, the only decent cook I know, and was like, what do I do? How do I? Oh! And it was,
get your tweezers out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just start plucking
it. Honestly, I found that a really disturbing evening.
Treat it like a monobrow.
You've made a really interesting point because we have this disconnect between where meat comes from. It's not on a little styrofoam tray in the supermarket. And you have to, as somebody who rears animals, you have to respect animal welfare, you know, give animals the best life and really look after them. And, you know, buy more expensive meat, grass-fed meat, because it's better for you, full of omega-3s, better for the animal, better for the environment, carbon capture in the soil and all of that stuff. But eat much less of it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe only have it once a week. It's not, you know, the idea of having, you know, a cheap chicken wrap every day, that's completely wrong. The kind of intensive conditions that those animals are reared in.
I eat less than high quality.
Much less.
Because you spend the same amount of money. Horrifying.
You're just obsessed with hairy giblets, aren't you? I'm sorry.
To be honest, the words hairy giblets just aren't used enough in general conversation, I feel, anymore.
No.
Nothing says Christmas like hairy giblets.
There's plenty of them.
And on that lovely hairy giblety note, I feel like
I don't know what we concluded, but I've certainly learned a lot.
I've learned that I want to go to Liz's house for Christmas dinner.
And I've learnt that what you'll be doing in the shower tomorrow.
Thinking of Liz.
I think Liz is just going to try and forget the whole thing.
Sorry to totally weird you out, Liz.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Good luck. Tune into Liz's, check out her podcast. And obviously, check out the Christmas edition of the magazine. If you're not feeling in the festive mood, I can guarantee this magazine will put you in the festive spirit.
I hope so.
It will. Liz, thank you so much for joining us. Have a lovely, happy Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And we'll see you all next week.
Merry Christmas.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.